Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, that was good. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is owed all our praise. He deserves every bit of it. This morning we heard our brother Jim give us different examples of certain things that we would like to have. I even heard a Hummer out there. And he asked, what would we give for that thing? And then he compared that to salvation. And what would we give for salvation? This afternoon in our Spanish service, our brother Sean preached about Moses and what he gave to serve God, to keep his commandments. My theme for tonight is the fear of the Lord. And I'm not sure exactly why. I felt that's what I was to preach on, but I think that there's reason to fear him. And his justice is one reason to choose to serve him the rest of your life. I'm going to start in the second book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 26. And I'm going to be reading you different verses that talk about the fear of the Lord. This one, Nephi is quoting from Isaiah. You know, he quoted a lot from Isaiah. Actually, throughout the Book of Mormon, as you read, I know Mormon does, Nephi does, I think others do, command us. I'm not sure they commanded us, but they tell us we should be reading the words of Isaiah. And here Nephi quotes from Isaiah. In verse 26, it says, O ye wicked ones, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord, and the glory of his majesty shall smite thee. And it shall come to pass that the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts soon cometh upon all nations, yea, upon every one, yea, upon the proud and the lofty, and upon every one which is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Yea, and the day of the Lord shall come upon all the cedars of Lebanon, for they are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills, and upon all the nations which are lifted up. I fear that's our nation. I think at this point we are lifted up in pride, and I think many of the Gentile nations, most nations, I think, are lifted up in loftiness, in pride. Verse 31, and upon every people, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of the sea, and upon all the ships of Tarshish. I'm pretty sure the ships of Tarshish were the merchant ships doing business. And I think that represents not a good side, an evil side of business that is willing to trod upon one another to get money. And upon all the pleasant pictures. You know, pictures are nice when we can see family members and remember certain events, but pictures can also be prideful. Some of the poses of today, you know, they make us think of ourselves more than we really are. and upon all the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord shall come upon them. And the glory of his majesty shall smite them when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which he hath made for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Lord shall come upon them, and the majesty of his glory shall smite them when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. I don't want to be fearful at that day if I'm here. I think my choice and your choice is to have the fear of God now rather than then. And let it be the beginning of wisdom, that I may do his will, that I may obey the enticings of his Holy Spirit, that I may read his word to know what it says and obey it. Turn with me now to second book of Nephi, chapter 9, verse 49. And this is still Isaiah. Nephi quoting Isaiah. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. I looked up confederacy, and I found the word treason. So these people are saying, say not treason to all these, all the people that these, to all whom this people shall say a treason. And then it says here, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Many times our governments make alliances, or people make groups based upon their fear of others, their fear of being seen a certain way. And the Lord is saying to Isaiah, don't do this. It says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. I looked that up, that word sanctify, and it said many words such as purify, but it also said a word like praise, something like praise. I don't think it was exactly praise, but sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. And let him be your dread. I think about many times when I limit my capabilities, when God wants me to do something, that if I fear doing it, I really limit what he could do. He's saying, fear not the things that other men fear or things that we naturally fear, but fear God. Trust in him. Do that which he has commanded you to do. Do that which he is guiding you to do with his Holy Spirit. I lost the verse. 52. Thank you. And he shall be for a sanctuary. Oh, those are peaceful words. I bet Margaret knows that the feeling of him being our sanctuary, when all the trials come of the sickness, and when it feels like there's no peace, I'm sure you have to just trust in him to have that peace. And I'm sure many of us have felt that. When the trials are there and the temptations or the anger or the frustration or the tiredness, if that's a word, and you just pour out your heart to him, and he's there as your sanctuary. But he's telling us that we should do this always, that we should trust in him, even in the good times, and that we should cry out to him for his will and fear him. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. I think many times we've heard preached, and I believe that the time of the Gentile is coming to a close. Does that mean we stop speaking to the Gentile? No. We keep speaking to the Gentile, and we keep speaking to the Jew and to the Lamanite. But just as the Jew stumbled, we see that we begin to stumble. And I think I even find it in my own life that it's so easy to get caught up in trusting in this society and the way we do things, in trusting in the system of man and trusting in my own habits and customs, and forgetting, or not really forgetting, choosing not to read the Word of God. And then I see that effect and the toll that has on my life. And I see that spiritually I begin to crumble. And yet God calls us out of that. And he calls us to be strong, and he calls us to fear him. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. All that time, it seemed, it's been over 1,000 years, that it seems that he has turned his face, that he has hid his face from Israel. And now we're seeing that his mercies are everlasting, and we're seeing his covenants being fulfilled, and the people of Israel gathered back. And this is what Isaiah was speaking of. I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to hear from the dead? And I don't think this is just talking about witches and palm readers and this type of stuff. I think it's talking about the books of today, even the religious books. My job is to audit churches, and I go into many different churches, and it's amazing how many different books they purchase and study together. And I've listened to some programming on a Christian station, and there is a program that is really concerned about the Bible illiteracy of Christians. And what he stated was, he was concerned about people studying many different books and not actually studying and not actually even knowing what happened in the Bible. And I think many times we'll seek so many different ways to heal our hurts, and we'll leave aside the Word of God. And God says, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to hear from the dead? It reminds me of the end of the Book of Mormon. I think it's Moroni or Mormon. I think it's Mormon in the Book of Mormon. He says, I speak to you from the dust of the earth, as if, he says, as if I'm there with you, or when it says that, I can just feel him speaking to me, because it's life. The Word of God is life, and it's truth, and it's health for the soul. 58, to the law and to the testimony, and if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. To the Bible and Book of Mormon. To the truth. If it's not according to that, then there's no light. When I, before the service, there was a phone, the phone was ringing, and nobody was answering it, so I got up and answered it. And it was a young man from Illinois, and he was just confused. He's searching out all the different churches, and he's just confused. And I felt it in his questions and his frustration. And it reminded me of where I used to be, and when I was raised in the RLDS Church, and I had a lot of confusion because I read things that didn't agree from different books that I supposedly believed in. And it had been a long time since I'd felt that, but I felt that even in this conversation with this young man. And at some points he was getting real, he acted like he wanted to pinpoint me into saying something that was not true, or into saying I was wrong in some of the questions. But I had a total peace, and the peace that I had was that this was a soul I was talking to on the phone, a soul that God loved, and that I needed to have that love in talking to him also. And I prayed, and I gave him my cell number if he had other questions. But I am so thankful that I have the Word of God, that I have the Bible and Book of Mormon, that they agree, and that I can stand firm and know that it's true. So to the law and to the testimony, and if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry, And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. Finally. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and shall be driven to darkness. I don't want to be at that point. I want to have that hatred against sin. I want to fear God. I want to fear disappointing him. Turn with me to Enos. No, turn with me to verse 116. And here Isaiah is prophesying how Christ would be the example of illustrating the fear of the Lord. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You see, even Christ had the fear of the Lord. He obeyed his Father. Everything he commanded, he did it. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Christ came in mercy, but he'll judge with justice. Enos chapter 1, verse 34. And it came to pass that the people of Nephi did till the land and raise all manner of grain and of fruit and flocks of herds and flocks of all manner of cattle and every kind and goats and wild goats and also many horses. And there were exceeding many prophets among us, and the people were a stiff-necked people, hard to understand, and there was nothing save it was exceeding harshness, preaching and prophesying of wars and contentions and destructions, and continually reminding them of death and the duration of eternity and the judgments and the power of God, and all these things stirring them up continually to keep them in the fear of the Lord. I say there was nothing short of these things, and exceeding great plainness of speech would keep them from going down speedily to destruction. I fear that that's where we are as a nation. I'm not going to say necessarily as a people of the church, but I know that sometimes I have to be reminded of the destruction that will take place, the death, the second death that I will have if I don't obey God. And sometimes that's what it takes for me to turn to him. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 1. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them, and they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, "Oh, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men." And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins, and having peace of conscience, because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, which should come, according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. Of course, this was before the first coming of Christ. They feared God and cried out unto him for mercy. Do you want to know what words caused them to fear God? Well, I'm going to read them. Back in the chapter before, chapter 1, starting at verse 119. Remember, this is King Benjamin. He knows he's going to die soon, and he wants to make sure that his soul is clean, free from the sins of ignorance of his people. He wanted to make sure they knew the right way. Verse 119, "For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him. Even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught thy people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken unto thee. And now I have spoken the words which the Lord God hath commanded me. And thus saith the Lord, they shall stand as a bright testimony against this people at the judgment day, whereof they shall be judged, every man according to his works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And if they be good, they are consigned to an awful view of their own guilt and abominations, which doth cause them to shrink before the presence of the Lord into a state of misery and endless torment, from whence they can no more return. Therefore they have drunk damnation to their own souls. Therefore they have drunk out of the cup of the wrath of God, which justice could no more deny unto them than it could deny that Adam should fall, because of his partaking of the forbidden fruit. Therefore, mercy could have claim on them no more forever. There is a last day when we shall be judged. And just as Adam made the choice of partaking of the forbidden fruit, we have choices every day. Will we follow the enticings of the Holy Spirit, or will we follow that devil that wants our death and destruction? And their torment is as the lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames are unquenchable, and whose smoke ascendeth up forever and ever. Thus hath the Lord commanded me. Amen. Will you turn with me to 2 Nephi chapter 6? Verse 36. And it shall come to pass that when all men shall have passed from the first death unto life, insomuch as they have become immortal, they must appear before the judgment seat of the Holy One of Israel, and then cometh the judgment, and then must they be judged according to the holy judgment of God. And assuredly, as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God hath spoken it, and it is his eternal word, which cannot pass away, that they which are righteous shall be righteous still, and they which are filthy shall be filthy still. Wherefore, they which are filthy are the devil and his angels, and they shall go away into everlasting fire prepared for them, and their torment is of the lake of fire and brimstone, and whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever, and hath no end. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God, for he executeth all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel, for he delivereth his saints from that awful monster, the devil, and death and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it, and he cometh into the world that he may save all men, and if they will hearken unto his voice. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name, and be baptized in his name, and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. Wherefore he hath given a law, and where there is no law given, there is no punishment. And where there is no punishment, there is no condemnation. And where there is no condemnation, the mercies of the Holy One of Israel hath claim upon them because of the atonement, for they are delivered up by the power of him. For the atonement satisfieth the demands of his justice upon all those who have not the law given to them, that they are delivered from that awful monster, death and hell, and the devil, and the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. And they are restored to that God who gave them breath, which is the Holy One of Israel. But woe unto him that hath the law given, that's us, yea, that hath all the commandments of God, like unto us, and that transgresseth them, and that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. For when they are learned or learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. That's that taking on or that trusting in the systems of man that I was talking about earlier. When I trust in my own wisdom or the wisdom of man rather than totally trusting in God and in his Holy Spirit, which brings truth. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore their wisdom is foolish, and it profiteth them not. Wherefore they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if it so be that they hearken unto the counsels of God, his Holy Spirit that he's given us. If we listen to it, if we obey it, the things that we learn in school, the things that we learn in our job, all those things can be used for good. But woe unto the rich, which are rich as to the things of the world, for because that they are rich, they despise the poor, and they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore their treasure is their God, and behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. It's so easy to be comfortable in pleasures and in things of this world. It's so enticing in trips, in things that make us feel more comfortable. But God's not calling us to feel more comfortable. He's calling us to follow him. He's calling us to obey his Spirit. He's calling us to speak to people like that young man that called on the phone tonight, who have pain and anguish because they're confused. They want to serve God, but they don't know who he is. He's calling us to the poor and the needy who are willing to hear because they have needs. And they want to know about a God who can fulfill their needs. And woe unto the deaf that will not hear, for they shall perish. Woe unto the blind that will not see, for they shall perish also. Woe unto the uncircumcised of heart, for a knowledge of their iniquities shall smite them at the last day. On our way to church this morning, we were reading the Word of God in the car, and Jose chose to read out of Psalms, and it spoke something about the dumb idols and how, having ears they hear not, having eyes they see not. And then it said, likewise are those who created them, or who made them, who made the idols, and also those who trust in them. And that's what it's speaking of here, the uncircumcised of heart. People, when we try to take the easy way out, when we read books of the world to get wisdom rather than the Word of God, not saying that there's not any good book out there besides the Word of God, but He should be our source. And when we follow after vain prayers, or when we do anything that the world does because it's easier, then we're uncircumcised of heart. When we're not willing to free up that heart to the Holy Spirit and obey His commands and do what He says, not fearing the world, but fearing God, then our heart is pure. 68, woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto the murderer, who deliberately killeth, for he shall die. Woe unto them who commit whoredoms, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Yea, woe unto they that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delighteth in them. And in fine, woe unto all they that die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold His face and remain in their sins. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God, that holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of that cunning one. And that's where it is. He's out there enticing us. We're not immune. And He's out there to get our soul. And it says, don't yield to those enticings. 74, remember to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. Oh, my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you, for if ye do, ye will revile against the truth. For I have spoken the words of your Maker. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that His paths are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before Him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and He employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for He cannot be deceived. For the Lord God is His name, and whoso knocketh, to him will He open. What did I say? What did I just read? And whoso knocketh, to him will He open. So are you not worthy? Are you not worthy to receive of His love and His grace? Are you not able to do what He's commanded? That's a lie if you think that. Because He says, to whoso knocketh, so knock. If you really desire to serve Him, knock, ask, and He'll answer. And whoso knocketh, to him will He open, and the wise and the learned, and they that are rich, which are puffed up because of their learning, and their wisdom, and their riches, yea, they are they whom He despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away. So if you're that way now, if you have any idols or treasures before God now, cast them away. and save they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. O my beloved brethren, remember my words. Behold, I take off my garments and I shake them before you. I pray the God of my salvation that he view me with his all-searching eye. Wherefore, ye shall know at the last day, when all men shall be judged of their works, that the God of Israel did witness that I shook your iniquities from my soul, and that I stand with brightness before him and am rid of your blood.